What does that sound, you ask?
Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Sit back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
Golden Mind here, and welcome to another episode of the Rec Show Podcast. Yo, we are on episode number 47. Yo, number 47, man. I appreciate each and every one of you for tapping in. I appreciate each and every beat maker that I've contacted and has said yes or has said no. I appreciate every single one of you, man. And every episode, the show gets better and better and better. And this episode is no exception, man. I hope y'all are counting y'all blessings and not y'all's problems. And yeah, man, we're going to get right into it, man. Today, we are going from Tokyo all the way to Louisiana, man. So, yo, my guest today, man, is a founding member of the New Orleans Underground Hip Hop Collective, Bag Season Records. Has performed with some of the most amazing beat set. I can't remember like how you say it, but yo, they like you perform on these platforms and stuff like that. But with the likes of like Beat Cinema, Controllerize, Roland's official 404 day celebration for two consecutive years. Also done some collaborative work with NOLA's own Global Warming, as well as Saba and Mick Jenkins, who I appreciate as a lyricist, man. Yo, and yeah, man, he just released his first instrumental album with Grouchy Party titled Letters from Tomorrow. My guest today has also appeared on OK Player's Best Mixtapes of the Year column, has also been featured on Bandcamp's Best Beat Tapes column numerous times, and was chosen to be a part of their official Roland SP 404 beat tape in 2022. Today, I'm welcoming, you help me welcome, the one and only Frank Carrick. Frank Carrick, y'all give it up, man. Yo, he graciously said yes, man. So yeah, we're gonna hear from him, we're gonna tap in with him, and yeah, man, this is gonna be a dope episode, man. And we're gonna hear his music, man. Yeah, right now you're listening to Black Guy 9, man. Lemoy et Les Soy. This is called Chaos Order. Y'all tap into Black Guy 9 ASAP, man. Stop playing around, yo. Yeah.
What's up, y'all? This is Friend Carrick, and you're plugged into the Rec Show Podcast with Golden Mind.
Let's go.
right now, you are listening to Zero, and the track before that was called In and Out, man. Yo, you are listening to Friend Carrick Grilled Cheese Party Favors, Volume 2, Letters from Tomorrow, man. Yo, so let's get right into the interview, man. Friend Carrick, welcome to the show. Yo, for the B-heads of the internets, please introduce yourself, where you're from, what your name means, and then, you know, how your name was created and any associated collectives that you might be a part of as well. I mean, we're going to find out anyway, you know what I mean?
What's up, y'all? My name is Friend Carrick. I'm based in New Orleans, Louisiana. My name is based on an old internet cartoon, and I'm not going to say more, but the name was chosen because I knew that no one else would ever have it. So when you Google it or search it on the internet, there's no mistaking. You know, I'm the one that's going to come up, so.
Yeah, you are the only one that's going to come up. Yo, y'all get your Googles on, man. Yo, so that brings me to my next question. You know, how did your journey begin in the music sampling world? You know, who in your family put you on to certain types of music? And then what's that one moment that sparked your interest in making your own beats? And, you know, and you know what? Let me throw in another one. Can you name a beat that sticks out in your mind of the greatest of all times? Right, because I know everybody got one. What's one of those beats?
The easy answer is like my cousin, who is a musician and made a lot of electronic music. He gave me my first DAW when I was like probably when I got my first laptop. So I was probably like around 14, 15. He gave me Sony Acid on PC. And that was like my first sort of exposure to a DAW and to computer music. And then as far as sparking my interest in making beats, I kind of arrived at sampling first, and also like experimental music, field recordings, and stuff like that. So I felt like sampling was like, hey, I'm hearing sounds in my head that I don't know how to get normally. So you know, sampling was kind of an answer to that. It was like, how do I actually make those sonic environments? I was really into jazz and like 70s production, like how they had the drum sound, how the sound of the room that they were in when they were recording, you know, like that kind of stuff was really fascinating to me. I was obsessed with room sounds and stuff like that. And you know, sampling was a fast track at the time for me to get to that sound. And I can't really name one beat that's like the best of all time. But for me, a turning point was when I saw that that Red Bull video with DiBiase called Legendary Underground MySpace Producer DiBiase. It was like that one he submitted for the contest. It's like him working at the baseball diamond. The beat in that was like a moment where the course of my life and like art changed. Because hearing that beat, I was just like, I'd never heard anything like that before. And it just sent me down the path of like that whole, you know, LA beat scene and just, you know, the SP404, everything. That was like the tip of the iceberg. So to me, that's like maybe not my favorite beat of all time, but probably like the single one that's most influential to me if I had to choose one.
Yeah, shout out to DiBiase, man. Yo, if I can get him on the show, yo, life goals, man. Yo, listen, so that brings me to my next question. Can you recommend some must-see, read, or listen to items for my listeners on their journey in beats music? And then it can be a documentary, a book, YouTube tutorials, or a podcast such as this one. You know what I mean?
So I make YouTube tutorials. You should watch mine if you use the SP sampler series, because I spent a lot of time and hard work making videos about the SP555, because there weren't really good videos out there, and it had a lot of features that I hadn't seen anyone talk about. Okay, haha. But in actuality, other than that, I gotta go get a couple books, but I know which ones I want to recommend. Hold on. Okay, book-wise, I just pulled off a couple off my shelf. One of them is The Art Spirit by Robert Henri, or Henry, I don't know how you say it. It's probably Henri, H-E-N-R-I. But this guy was a watercolor and like a painter, watercolor artist and painter. And he was a teacher, but there's some incredible essays and like transcribed lectures in that book about getting inspiration and practicing, improving your craft. And that stuff to me was just infinitely inspiring. Anytime I kind of feel like in a slump or I don't feel inspired, reading that book was like, it was like a bolt of lightning. I would read 10 pages and I would be like, oh my God, I have to go make beats right now. I have to go make music right now. Excuse me. Another one that's like pretty technical and academic, but really worth reading, if you can get through it, is called Audio Culture, Readings in Modern Music. It's a book of essays about experimental music, basically in the 20th century and up until the early 2000s when it was published. They talk about the origins of experimental music, of vinyl and tape and sampling, and up through like DJ culture. And it's just a really fascinating look at the frames of mind that changed once new recording technology came around. And, you know, as beat makers, like, we're kind of obsessed with technology a lot. So a lot of things in this book speak to me. There's essays about noise. You know, when noise was first introduced, like, as a concept in music, it was like, how do we even define noise? Some people were just like, it's something, you know, noise is like what sounds in music that you want to get rid of or that are distracting. But now to us, you know, texture and noise is like things that beat makers strive for and long for in their music. So it's really fascinating to see how that stuff changed. And, you know, like 100 years, you know, was around when they really started to produce electronic music. So really fascinating. And then the last one is definitely like the most, well, it has the most pictures. It's called Behind the Beat, written by, who is it written by? Behind the Beat, hold on, Raph, R-A-P-H. It's just pictures of a bunch of producers' studios, which to me is like incredible. And when I was remodeling my studio when I moved, I was using this as a, you know, like a template. There's big names in here like Madlib and Dilla. And then just a bunch of really cool stuff, like just pictures of guys who were making beats in the 90s and 2000s, a lot of small computer monitors and big old mixers and vinyl collections. You know, they got Premiere in here, they got J-Zone, they got DJ Shadow, you know. So really cool, very, very inspiring. It came out a few years ago, probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know if you can still find it. I'm sure you can, but those books are great.
Thank you.
I'm doing research for the show, man. I'm gonna put all the links in the description of the books that you recommend, and then also your YouTube channel as well, man. Yo, those are dope books, man. So I'm gonna have to up my library, man, of books, man. But thanks for the recommendations also, man. So that brings me to my next question, man, which is from your social media content, you use a KP3 Chaos Pad, a Roland SP44, SP555, which I've seen you perform with. What other musical equipment do you use to craft beats, and which one of those is the most important to you, if you don't mind me asking, man?
I mean, the other stuff I have that I use a lot, I have a Korg Monolog. It's like a monophonic analog synthesizer that I love for bass lines and leads. I'm borrowing a friend's Nord Electro, which is like a really nice keyboard that I'm obsessed with. So yeah, those and like Ableton, you know, that one's maybe an obvious one, but it's, you know, if I'm making beats in a DAW, I'm using Ableton because it's a... my favorite. It was the only other DAW I really used besides GarageBand and Sony Acid, so I'm like super deep in it, and I can just make it do anything I ask it to do, which is with the DAW seems like the best thing, you know. It's like, let me get to the sound in my head as quick as possible or as efficiently as possible, and help inspire me when I need it with effects or, you know, workflows or whatever.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten to the Ableton, but I may try it once I move and get settled, man. But yo, so my next question, which congratulations on the release of your newest instrumental album, Grilled Cheese Party Favors Volume 2, Letters from Tomorrow. Can you tell us how that album came together, and then what your muses and inspirations were when you created them? And also, can you tell us like how best to listen to this piece of music? Because that's most important. Like, some people don't know, like, you know, some people create it for like driving at night, some people, you know, so you can go to the park and listen to music, some people make, you know, people make beats for certain situations. So I just want to, you know, different question, you know.
So yeah, my latest album just came out last month. It's called Letters from Tomorrow. It also goes under the name Grilled Cheese Party Favors Volume 2. This album, the story actually for it is kind of crazy. So it's via the label Grilled Cheese Party. That's who's, you know, helping out with the vinyl. And that game basically came together because in 2020, I was... or 2021, actually. The years are just blurred. But in 2021, I was part of this battle, and it was like Team 404 versus Team Koala. And it was judged by, like, DiBiase and Eloquent and Remy from Koala Beatcast. Shout out to y'all for putting that together. But basically, it was like, I think it was 12 on each team, all SP404 users and all Koala users. And then we had like matchups one at a time. I remember I was going up against formerly known as Low Tech Beats. And I made this like crazy, really hard beat on just the SP404 SX. And Team SP did end up losing, but I won my matchup, just for the record. But but so Mark from Grilled Cheese Party heard that beat, just like, because I put it on social media like you do, you know, and was like, this beat is crazy, we have to do a project. I'm launching a series of instrumental albums, you know. Grilled Cheese Party is a rap label mostly, but I want to branch out into instrumental music, and I'm hearing this beat. I had met him a few years ago because he used to live here in New Orleans. He's like, send me a bunch of stuff. So that was basically how it started, with just that track. And that track's called One for the Team, and you know, I had to put it on there on the record because it was so like, there's other like versions of this story where that he doesn't hear this beat, or I don't post it online, and like, who knows what kind of process it takes to get the album out, or maybe it never happens. Crazy. So inspiration wise I mean, the ideas for this were very gritty sounds, raw sounds, heavy head nod energy. So a lot of stuff that I make is really chill. So I kind of tried to like add some more emotions and some more sort of breath to what I was doing. And I was also like in the middle of a really, really hard time mentally. like I was going through a breakup, I lost my job because of COVID, having to move, being in lockdown. It was just everything at once. And I was basically going through like an existential crisis while making the album. So there's a lot of songs about that. And there's like a narrative that I kind of constructed using some samples that reflects that. And so it kind of became like an album about, it sounds a little silly maybe, but it's like an album about making an album, or really what I guess would be a better way to say it is like an album about the artistic process. Because like for me, when I'm making an album, the midpoint of making that album is like very difficult, and you feel like I'm never going to finish this. It's all shit. And then when you finally finish, hopefully it's something that you can be proud of. And so I chose the title Letters from Tomorrow because I wanted it to be optimistic. And I was, even though I know it was like really struggling at that time, I knew that I was going to finish the album and it was going to be really good. So I needed it to be like optimistic from the future so that it would help me push forward and, you know, continue to grow and continue to work hard. And the album came out great. Best way to listen to the music? Well, this one is on vinyl, so I would highly suggest getting a copy. It's on Fat Beats. It's on Grilled Cheese Party's Bandcamp. I have some copies with me. If you're local in the city, say what's up. But yeah.
Yeah, yo. I'm going to leave the link to the album in the description of the show, man. So all y'all got to do, man, wherever platform y'all are listening to the show on, just go to the bottom, look at the episode description, man. The links are always going to be in there, even on Bandcamp, man. So, yeah, man. Yo, shout out to DBIC. Shout out to Remy. Shout out to Eloquent for that Koala SP44 battle, man. I had the pleasure of watching that and had quite a few of those participants on this show also. So thank y'all, man, for doing so. Yo, that show was amazing, man. Ultimately, Teve Key wound up taking that one, and for good damn reason, man. That shit was fire, man. Yo, so that brings me to my next question, man. Like, four pillars of hip hop are DJing, MCing, breaking, and graphing. Which element did you begin your journey with? And then, you know, how did it affect you when you discovered that element that was hip hop, you know?
I would say, I guess DJing is how I began my journey. Just because that was like something I was doing from an early age. I would, you know, DJ like little parties we had, like even in like high school, I always wanted to share music and show people music that I found. And, you know, so I got into it that way and like striving to search for weird music, obscure stuff. You know, that kind of leads into or dovetails nicely with the whole like sampling idea where you're digging for rarities and stuff like that. So, you know, and also like I was the guy for a while who wanted to be like behind the boards, you know, wanted to be the producer, the engineer, the DJ, the person who's not in the spotlight, but who's like providing the background. And in some sense, I've come to think about myself less as, you know, behind the boards, but in some sense still, you know, I do embody that.
Yeah. So DJing, man, yo, DJs, beat makers, yo, we make the world go, yo. I'm trying to tell y'all, man. So, hey, I appreciate that outlook, man, because DJs ultimately share music, get the party going, let people forget about their issues that they may be having outside of where they're listening to this music, man. So shout out to all the DJs, man, and all the beat makers as well, man, because y'all get the, y'all make us nod our head. Y'all got us with the ugly dookie face on, you know what I mean, sometimes. Yo, it'd be crazy, man, you know, just the emotional connection to the music that people be playing. But yo, man, so let's segue into this next question. And this is a new game I created called Superheroes. You play it by naming your childhood, teenager, and adult DJ, beat maker, or music producer superheroes. And, you know, just tell us, like, why they were so important at these specific times in life. And major key alert, no genre is off limits. All right, it's just a history lesson for the people to go ahead and do their research, and you know, if they want to, you know.
So I guess as a kid, or when I was younger, maybe like you know, young adult, I was really into My Bloody Valentine. They're like a shoegaze band y'all are familiar with them. Shoegaze is like really atmospheric rock music, super heavy emphasis on lots of effects and like soundscape type stuff. So that's like a philosophy and like a artistic perspective that I always try to incorporate into my music, like very rich, layered, textured soundscapes that really transport you somewhere in headphones or even on speakers. And that's kind of what led me to like sampling and like, I guess to some degree, lo-fi music, because to me what was interesting about that stuff was like the textures from the vinyl that you were sampling, from the machines that you were using, from the plug-in side of things, like in your DAW. All these things were very, you know, and because I used to work as an engineer when I lived in Baton Rouge, I had access to a studio. So I was like making stuff that sounded really clean there, and then I would go home and make stuff that sounded like really dirty, basically. And that's just kind of where my interests gravitated towards, was like stuff that didn't sound super clean. But largely that was because I was like really into, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the sound of the room on like old jazz records, and like how, you know, Marvin Gaye on I Want You, how they got the drums to sound like that. I remember like just obsessingly trying to figure out how did they get the sounds of those records, like, you know. And back then it was very secretive. Engineers wouldn't really tell you how they did it, because that's how they made their money, which I get. So very super inspiring. Later on, I would say as an adult, like hearing Obliv's music, or a young adult hearing Obliv's music as a producer, I mean, there's this thing for me where like sometimes I'll have a style of music in my head that I'm trying to do, and I'll try to work at it, and I'll, you know, do a lot of permutations to try to get there. But then there's like something cool that can happen where you're listening to music and you hear somebody making music that is like what you were hearing in your head. And when I discovered Obliv, that's exactly what I thought. Like the way he was using the SP-404, the way he was chopping up like 80s boogie and funk and gospel music was like what I was trying to do without realizing it. But it's not like discouraging. If anything, it's encouraging, because you're like, oh, these sounds exist, and like, you know, maybe I'm not doing like something that's 100% novel, but what I'm doing, there's like there's context for it. So discovering Obliv's music, amazing moment, still one of my favorite producers ever. And before that, even, it was like discovering Madlib, you know, discovering somebody who had really good taste, who had a tremendous work ethic, who worked with rappers but also had a solo career, who, you know, had done it every day and just was like super dedicated, and, you know, just made good loops. Like when I first started producing, it was like, oh yeah, you can make dope beats just by making good loops. And, you know, now I've expanded past that mindset, but at the time, that accessibility aspect of it was very important to me.
Yeah, man, Obliv. Yeah, I got a cassette of his, and I got some music on my Bandcamp from Obliv, and of course Madlib, and but everybody you named, my buddy Valentine. I'm gonna leave it in the description as well, so people can go ahead and just research, man, and tap in with these amazing artists, man, who some people may not know. And then, you know, somebody can just recommend, and they get to knowing their catalog and seeing like how they did it, man, and just seeing like the genius behind their art, man. So yeah, man. I appreciate that breakdown, that outlook, man. Yo, so that brings me to my next question. Yo, what is Bag Season, bro? Bag Season Records and the artists associated with it. Like, who? And then, and you know, after you answer that one, like, who should my listeners be on the lookout for with the beats from Bag Season Records? You feel me?
Bag Season is a producer collective and label based in New Orleans, Louisiana. Myself, Ofka, Wino Willie, and Delicious Beats. the four of us, a few years back, probably 2018, I think, formed officially after meeting and like getting to know each other and having a lot of successful collaborations and throwing shows. We basically are a New Orleans hip hop collective, and our goals are mostly community based. And, you know, what we want to do is build the New Orleans beat scene up, connect it with the other scenes out in LA or out in Atlanta or up in, you know, the Northeast and around the world. And you should look out for all. Basically, here's what I'm going to say. As far as who should y'all be on the lookout for, you should go to Backseason Records YouTube page, right? We host beat battles. All the archives are up on our YouTube. Everybody who's participating in those battles, not just the people who won, but all the people participating are the people you should be listening for. Those are the people's band camps you should be spending your money on Fridays, you know, Bandcamp Fridays. Basically, since COVID, we started the battles to kind of keep the community together, because before that, we hosted a monthly producer showcase here in New Orleans that thankfully is back now. But it was at a local arcade called Sea Cave. But when the pandemic started, well, we couldn't really do that. So, but we have just a tremendous group of people who participate. A lot of them have some overlap with the Koala Beatcast flip challenges and roulettes. You know, shout out to those guys again. But just find those VODs, find those videos, and everybody on that list, everybody who participates, go check out their music.
Yeah, man. Yo, bagseasonrecords.com, man. Y'all check it out. I'm about to get a shirt from there anyway, man. And tap into AFKA, A-F-K-A, Delicious Beats, Wino Willie. And, of course, you listening to him right now, Frank Carrick, man. So y'all tap into Backseason Records, man. They doing some dope stuff. And anybody that's supporting the community, man, I appreciate that. But I also want to put in a milestone, man. So you are my second beat maker from Louisiana. The first one was Almighty Auto, who's a dope beat maker, young, but he's got some, you know, he got some chopping, man. So shout out to Almighty Auto. What I did want to ask you is, can you tell us what the beat scene is like in New Orleans, Louisiana? You know, are there any beat makers we should be on the lookout for, in your opinion? You know, give us your take on the beat scene from a Louisiana native's perspective. You feel me?
The beat scene in New Orleans, you know, I'm just speak on what I know, which is just one person's opinion. The beat scene here is dope. You know, we try really hard, like I said, to provide a space with Counter Sessions, which is our producer showcase, where anybody can come play. It doesn't matter if you have played one show or 100 shows. It doesn't matter if you have an SP404 or if you're like plugging an aux cord into your phone. You know, like, that accessibility is something that we always strive for. And just building community and having a place to come play your music and test it out on some speakers and get some feedback and network, like, that's what we, you know, as Bag Season, that was what we set out to do with Counter Sessions. So that being said, like, largely the beat scene that we've come to know has been built around those, you know, those events. Before we started Counter Sessions, there was another event that I used to go to when I was in college called Dolo Jazz Suite that had similar vibes, I would say. It leaned a little bit more on the electronic side. But that was something that I think we all consciously tried to continue with Counter Sessions, and just that community aspect is a big thing. I think the scene is dope. I think that, I mean, probably like everyone, I wish that it was bigger, and I wish that the city, you know, I wish we were getting booked at bigger places, of course, because I think our music is incredible. But I also understand beat making is kind of niche. So it's a delicate balance, but and like I said, anybody who's been in our beat battles or been at Counter Sessions, stamp of approval has been earned, so go check those people out. But if you really want me to narrow it down, then shoot, Bag Season, the four of us on the roster, those should be your four favorite beat makers, honestly.
Yeah, yo. Once again, shout out to Bag Season Records. BagSeasonRecords.com, man. Check them out, man. Links is going to be in the description as well, man. And, bet, man. Yo, I appreciate your output on this. So, and my next question, I always ask this because I need other people to understand, like, this is a thing that's happening. So if you can get in early, that it's better for you, whoever the listener is, whoever the beat maker is, music producer is, and they want to get started on it, they should. So, you know, how do you think beat makers can benefit from emerging tech such as Web3, cryptocurrency, blockchain technologies?
To be honest with you, I feel very conflicted about crypto and blockchain stuff. You know, I thought about this question for a while, but like my first reaction when I think about it is just kind of bums me out that because it's so hard to be financially stable as an artist, that we all need to like, or we all feel pressured to like jump on the next thing that might allow you to make money, might allow someone to lift themselves out of poverty, might allow them to live a little bit more securely when a job isn't enough or when your art isn't enough, because a lot of people don't like to pay for art. Surprise, surprise. So I definitely think that people can benefit from it. I know for a fact that many of them have. I personally know people who have. But I guess what I would say is, just like with anything, just like make sure you know what you're getting into. Investing is kind of scary. And, you know, I don't know. Like, just, I'm really avoiding saying the phrase, do your own research. But, yeah, just like, be cautious and be, maybe like try to seek out somebody who you trust, who has experience in that, for advice other than just like, or rather than random articles or YouTube videos. But yeah, I think there's a lot to be gained there. But I'm certainly not an expert.
Hey, we all learning, bruh. So all trying to, you know, figure this thing out, man. But yeah, again, do your homework, man. I switched it up. I ain't even gonna say what they normally say. Do your homework. All right, that's all I'm gonna say. And you know, it's amazing people doing some amazing things with it. So yeah, just tap in, man. Learn something every day, you know, and then go from there, man. But last question, friend Carrick, man, I appreciate you for being on the show again. What should the internets look out for from Frank Carrick in 2022 or Bag Season Records? How can the internets tap into you and your music? And then go ahead and plug your socials and any albums, collaborative albums you might have coming out and all that stuff, man. This is your time, any last words, all that stuff.
You can find me the easiest way. Friendcarrick.com takes you straight to my Bandcamp. BagSeasonRecords.com takes you straight to the Bag Season Records website. Other than that, Friend Carrick on all socials. I would say Instagram, Twitter is like the really ones I only really use, and YouTube. Yeah, check me out. You know, just released this album, playing shows, got more music coming up. So, you know, follow me on Bandcamp. You know, that way I can send y'all messages, and when I release something new, you'll get that. And yeah, thanks for checking us out. BagSeasonRecords.com. And look, I appreciate y'all having me. Really, I do. It's been a pleasure. So thank you.
When the money starts rolling in, don't come trying to be my friend.
Money? Ha! How much are you gonna make off that song anyway?
What do you care?
Wait up! I wanna party along with you!
We'll be right back.
I'll treat you to a dinner when my song royalties come in.
You're about to witness it.
Oh,
appreciate you, Frank Carrick. Louisiana, stand up, man. Yo, y'all got some dope, amazing talent. So, I appreciate you for being on the show. Thank you for saying yes, man. Yo, much love, peace, and respect to you, to Bag Season Records, to every beat maker out there, to every listener out there. If this was your first time, thank you for tapping into the Retro Podcast. If you're a returning member, thank you. I really appreciate you, man. Everybody that's sharing this on their platforms, Instagram, TikToks, and Twitters, and Facebooks, everybody that's tapping in, thank you, man. There's also multiple ways you can support the show, but the main one, if you really want, you know, the perks, man, go to goldenmine.bandcamp.com and check out the perks over there. You can also go ahead and leave a donation. The link is at the bottom of the description. And yeah, we're gonna keep moving like that, man. We are almost to episode 50, so we are going to do a giveaway. We're gonna give a giveaway off on episode 50, man. I'm gonna give y'all all that information probably this week, and then we're just gonna keep growing for the next 2 weeks until we get to episode 50. And yeah, I don't know, one, maybe two people we're gonna be the winners of whatever I'm gonna give away. So more details to come. Y'all stay tapped in, stay tuned, and I appreciate y'all, man. Make sure you count your blessings and not your problems. Y'all have a good weekend, man. Basketball season is on, so I know everybody's been looking at the playoffs. Playoffs looking crazy. Brooklyn, y'all out of there, man. Y'all get the fuck out of there, man. Y'all defense sucks. Get out of there, man. Yo, looking straight garbage, yo. You know what I mean? Looking straight garbage. But yeah, man, yo, y'all enjoy the rest of your day. I appreciate y'all, man. And we out of there. Peace and love, yo.
You've got to be kidding. Or requested his own song?
That idiot.
That was my chance, and I'm gonna take it.
It's time to fight.
This is Corden Jacques. You're checking out the Rec Show with my homie Goldenmine.
These lights represent every living person on the planet. The white lights are humans. And these are the mutants.
They tell like younger kids or other producers like, that's cheating. You can't really be separate from bro. Like when it comes to this producing shit, you can do whatever you want.
You've been listening to the Rec Show Podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Remember three things. Believe in your music. Take care of your mentals. Become the best version of yourself. Until the next one, Golden Mind signing off. Peace and love, yo.
Be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.
These young boys getting better. like the NBA when you retire. Like, this is, you have to keep going.